So this is just my theory, but I think it's a decent theory, that the place that many people in Australia know least about in the entire world is Central Asia. By Central Asia, I mean north of Afghanistan and Pakistan. I mean west of China. I mean south of Russia. And I mean east of Europe. The place where there's Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, all those countries, I know nothing about them, and I'm curious. So we decided to find someone who's been there and knows a bit about them, Katie Alney, who's a travel blogger at katiealney.com, and she joined us from Chicago. Hello, Katie.
Hello.
Hello, thank you very much for joining us. So why did you go to Central Asia?
Well, I went in part of, I took a year traveling to all of the former Soviet countries, which include the five stands that you just mentioned. And part of the attraction for me was the fact that not a lot of people go there, that it was very off the beaten path, but also that there's a lot of really interesting history in the region, especially with the Silk Road. If you look back, you know, hundreds of years, it was really a major trade route going through that region, you know, getting from Turkey over to China. You know, the trade caravans went through that way, and there's a lot of really interesting history of old civilizations in that area.
So the Silk Road is much more than just a road.
Right.
What might you find along it?
Excuse me?
What do you find along the Silk Road?
I mean, what's left of it today are, you know, some remains of what used to be some very major cities, you know, at one time some of the largest cities in the world that, you know, now have really fallen into some disrepair, but just some, you know, really amazing madrasas and mosques left over, especially in the Uzbekistan region, in Samarkand and Bukhara, just some really beautiful, you know, buildings, you know, from what's left over. In Turkmenistan, most of it hasn't been maintained at all. And for me, that was really just fascinating to see just the ruins of these cities in the middle of the desert that have been forgotten about for, you know, hundreds of years.
So you mentioned the desert, that area of Central Asia. I mean, it covers quite a big area. It's not that densely populated. There's about 90 million people in the area, but the geography of it, is there, are there some generalizations you can make, or is it all sorts of things?
It varies a bit. Turkmenistan is mostly desert, very largely desert there, as well as Uzbekistan. When you get over into parts of Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan, they're very mountainous. The time I spent in Tajikistan was mostly up in the mountains, staying with a couple local families. And there they had just some beautiful lakes within the mountains, great opportunities for hiking, just really beautiful scenery. So it differs a bit, but I would say, you know, a mix of desert and mountains.
And again, is it a mix of old and new? Is there, are these countries still, at least to Western eyes, sort of developing, or are they quite underdeveloped, or what stage are they at?
Sure, it depends on the country. I would say Kazakhstan is probably the most westernized of the countries. When I was in Almaty, what used to be the capital, now it's Astana is the official capital, but Almaty is still one of the major cities. There you can find Western food chains and some Western stores. I actually bought a pair of jeans from The Gap when I was there. So it's a bit more westernized. And, you know, I met schoolgirls in Kazakhstan who dreamed of growing up to become doctors and, you know, going to Europe or to the United States to study. So a little bit more Western looking. On the other hand, Tajikistan, you know, is much less developed, you know, still much a poorer country. I think it was the poorest country in the former Soviet Union, and it still is quite poor today and not as developed. Turkmenistan is a little of both. The capital, they're very oil rich, and so when you visit the capital in Ashgabat, it's almost kind of a dream world. It's lots of white marble and gleaming silver buildings, very clean, very sort of ostentatious. But then much of the country is very poor. That oil money hasn't trickled down to the rest of the population.
And that leads into the economy and what's happening politically. As former parts of the USSR, there's obviously been a lot of challenges for them in both those fields, politics and economics, over the last 20 years. How have they been going?
It depends a bit by country. It's certainly, I think, one of the things you'll find in Uzbekistan and Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan, definitely some ethnic conflict. The borders were somewhat arbitrarily drawn back in the Stalin days. And so when the Soviet Union broke apart, you suddenly had, families that were torn apart based on country lines that were somewhat, arbitrarily made. And there's, different pockets of ethnicities and, say a group of Uzbeks that are now in Kyrgyzstan or a group of, Tajiks in Uzbekistan, that when it was all part of the Soviet Union, it didn't really matter. And then when it broke apart and these countries became independent, they suddenly had these borders that were in place that didn't necessarily make sense. And that one woman in Tajikistan on her way to Uzbekistan, and her whole family lives in Uzbekistan, but she's in Tajikistan, and she's only able to get a visa to visit them like once every year or once every 2 years. Situations like that, with families being torn apart, and Kyrgyzstan and Uzbekistan have both had in the last, 10, 15 years, their share of some ethnic conflict and fighting, which is, sort of left over from that.
Finally, Katie, am I right you're more or less a professional traveler and travel writer?
I do it in connection with I do have a full-time job, but I also do write as much as I can about my travels and write for a couple different travel publications. So the year I took a year off and did nothing but travel for about 13 months, which is when I got started with it.
Wow. And were you on your own for those 13 months, or were you with other people?
I was on my own. I spent about 3 months in the Central Asia region, and a month of that was in Tajikistan volunteering. So I was living with local families there, and then I spent the rest of the time traveling on my own in the region.
And you must be pretty tough to be able to do that. I mean, tough in a good way, not easy, not lonely. And did you get lonely?
I didn't. Interestingly enough, of all the places that I visited, it was actually easiest to meet people in Central Asia. I think in part because the travelers who do go to the region are all sort of a similar makeup, like to get off the beaten path, have a sense of adventure, and, it was easy to meet those people in hostels or guest houses, and, sometimes we would travel together for a day or two. I met a group of French tourists in Kyrgyzstan that I traveled with for a few days, met a Spanish tourist when I was in Kazakhstan, and we traveled together for a couple days, and the people in the region are incredibly friendly, very welcoming, very excited to see tourists there because they don't see many tourists. I sort of compare it to, when you go to, say, Western Europe, they get tourists all the time.
Yeah, right.
They're annoyed with us. So many tourists. And in Central Asia, it's completely different.
They're excited to see you.
Yeah.
Finally, Phil in Tasmania wants to know what the Stan means at the end of all the names of those countries.
It means land of.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Land of the Uzbeks, land of the Kyrgyz.
Great. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. Much appreciated.
My pleasure.